were accounts payable. We had, remember, we had a check from in between this past meeting and this one for the bay restoration fee that we raised. And then we squeezed one more in this morning for our loan that we took out back in 2012. That's every 6 months. And that's a big one. That's for a long point.
Yeah.
Stone.
Needs to change. I'm motion to adjourn to go into executive session. Sorry.
Catch that.
We need the motion to table this.
We can move. You can make a motion to table. That's fine.
Motion to table the AECOM agreement until we get more information from AECOM as well as the other engineering firms. I second.
And so all in favor of tabling, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So there are two, you say there are two more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. All right. So under new business, I had wanted, if many of you recall, we had passed a noise ordinance last year. I think it was probably last fall, and it was largely in response to the issues that we were having with Mr. One of the residents on Black Avenue. And I think it was a reasonable idea to do, but I think at the same time we kind of did it perhaps a little hastily because we had the whole neighborhood was in an uproar about the perpetual noise, and we didn't really have an enforceable noise ordinance. But one of the issues, and I think I've spoken to most of the commissioners about this matter, and that is that I'm the ordinance that we passed is broken down between non-residential and residential. But it has time cutoffs in the noise ordinance for the businesses at 9 p.m. And once again, I think we did it somewhat hastily, and we should have had comment from our local businesses, particularly the one that operate. It's really all. It includes the marinas, it includes the campgrounds, it includes the the restaurants in town, and so forth. So. The cutoff was at 9 p.m., and I'm thinking that it should be, particularly for weekends and holidays, should be extended to 11 p.m., which is typically our policy in the past. I'm also
7 a.m. too on the weekends, and the reason I'm saying that is we have construction workers that are building houses and stuff, and a lot of times they're coming in at 7 a.m.
So you're saying you would like to, and this is kind of what I'm not saying that I wanted to have this for a discussion amongst us and the commissioners before we go ahead and do anything. One of the things that I certainly wanted to do is perhaps for the businesses at a minimum, is extend the extend the weekends and holidays to 9 a.m. To 11 p.m. And I'm not even even opposed to hearing some comment from the public on it as well. But the residents we have, of course, at 9 p.m., which I think is it's reasonable, and it's not like all noise stops the way it. It reads, of course, is that, for example, for commercial businesses, they have it at 67 dBs during the day up till, like I said, I'm proposing up to 11 p.m. And then after that time, it reduces down to 62. For residences, it's at 65 during the day and down to 55 during the nighttime hours, which is reasonable. I was, you know, I went back and I was reviewing a lot of some of the other municipalities, and I'm perhaps maybe a little concerned as well that, you know, I don't know, and again, I'm not a sound specialist, but whether or not, you know, is 60, when I read about 67 decibels, I'm reading that that's like normal conversation levels to a certain degree. And I'm a little concerned that it's perhaps, you know, too restrictive.
Really, I mean, if I'm talking like this right now.
But that's at nighttime, though.
That's about 55.
You may be right.
That's really close to that. So that is extreme. I mean, I think people right now are probably going, what did you just say?
I was
that are on Zoom.
I mean, I was looking at some other ordinances, of course, and they were, you know, the sound levels for businesses were at 70 decibels for businesses during operating hours till 11 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, and other nights up to 10 p.m.
And we also have to realize that on the water, like even at the campgrounds will tell you the sound carries. And because when you took the kids camping, what's the first thing you tell them? Shh.
Right.
The sound carries. So we have to think about that too. So no matter how quiet you may be trying to be, and all of a sudden your kid says, Mom, that's not like they're trying to be super loud. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to be a little bit less. I think this is very restrictive. And I know why we did it. I just think we did it a little
abruptly.
Yeah, because I think, we were looking for hammered it really hard.
Right.
And I think it needs to be kind of tweaked a little. Just a little.
And you know, I think it's a good thing to have in place because ideally, you know, if people have a problem with noise, whether or not it's, you know, particularly one of the restaurants or whatnot, we call up and they're generally good neighbors, I think, and they'll turn music or whatnot down and so forth. But
and if they don't, the sheriff's office has to have something to fall back.
Absolutely, on. And I think it's reasonable, but at the same time, I don't want it to be used as a sword against them necessarily. Mm-hmm.
And so, you bring up a good point, Lou, about enforcement. Mm-hmm. You know, is the town going to enforce this ordinance, or do we want the sheriff's office to enforce
it? Well, I'm just saying that if we don't have our guy, our enforcer out there, and he's already gone, and then the sheriff's office gets a call because it's past 10 o'clock or whatever time we choose, and there's nobody around, they're going to say, well, our county one doesn't really hold water.
Yeah. And really, you know, noise, if from an enforcement perspective, you kind of have to catch it in the act.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And we are.
They pull up and they turn it all down and they comply.
There's nothing to measure.
But I mean, if they pull up and you're like out there partying and you don't turn your. Then there's a problem. They can handle it.
And it's not just music that we're hearing.
Exactly.
Right.
It's
from residents. It could be dogs.
It can be the dogs
barking
all night long. Mm-hmm. Right.
It is, you know, revving your engine, you know, working on your motors.
Mm-hmm. I was reading New York's city's noise policy, which is like 25 pages or so. And a lot of it has to deal with, like, you know, their refuse collection vehicles and whatnot are just keeping the sounds down. So, So anyway, you know, I could possibly be in favor of raising the non-residential DBA to 70, mm-hmm. and changing the hours from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Except for weekends and holidays.
Where I work,
mm-hmm. Noise is actually in my directorate. Do you want me to get the actual numbers?
Oh,
she works at Aberdeen.
I mean, I thought you were talking about your other employee.
This is just what
I'm proposing. Keep in mind what's in effect right now is in effect, but I think we need to amend it to be more appropriate for our town.
I know I edit this paperwork, and I know I just don't. I mean, I can talk to the experts and find out.
Please do. And then we'll, because I'm not looking for a vote on this evening or anything like that. And then we'll put it on the agenda again and we'll have a discussion. Ideally, we'll vote on it at the next meeting.
Do we really want to have
now for
the weekend beginning time is 9 a.m.?
I think so. I mean, during the course of the day, those are the dates. It's got to be quiet up till 9 a.m. You think it's
very 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
The reason I'm saying that is we have a lot of homes that are being redone. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of
construction
that's going on, mm-hmm. and they start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. I'm not.
Yeah, but then you also have the other side yes. of that too, is the people calling to complain, and these guys are in here. But this guy just started at 7 a.m. and we got to kind of 7 a.m. is a little early, I think, for this area.
Right, we've heard complaints about grass cutters,
and we have the grass cutters, the trash people, yes. and everything coming in and bonking that thing loud. Ooh, mm-hmm. and it is loud. And they come down on the other side of our street at like 5 and 6. And the poor old gentleman comes over all the time. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And he goes, well, they were, it got a little bit better. They were an hour more behind. So I was like, I'm sorry. So I think we need to have something that stops them from coming in that early. Especially for the, you know, everybody else that isn't working on their house at, you know.
I mean, are you fine with? So you don't like the 7 a.m. Mm-mm. number?
No.
What number? I mean, you.
I would meet in the middle and say 8.
I mean, I think, you know, in reality, I don't know. I don't see us really going out and.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really think this is really one to enforce against mm-hmm. overly loud neighbors, perpetually, you know, problem areas right. that we can hit on. But okay, so you're saying 7, so you're saying 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Now, I would still say that, for example, for the residential areas, that mm-hmm. the time still, you know, stay whatever till 9 p.m. I don't think the residential areas should go up till
where is till that 11 written p.m. in here, though?
What's that?
That's a differential.
What differential?
That you have to separate it out to be.
We would have to separate this out. This would need to be revised. I think that residential areas, I mean, I think they, you know, it should be kept quiet at, whether it's 9 p.m. or maybe we increase it to 10 p.m., but it should be quieter in the residential areas. I mean, I don't think
on the weekends I still say 11 o'clock. I don't
for the residential as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah,
well, we can
because what if you're having a graduation party or a birthday party or even a summer party? You know, I mean, this is a kind of summer town per mm-hmm. se, and you're telling okay. but at 9 o'clock, you know, it's not even dark that you have to be talking at this level.
You know,
and that's going to be tough to
and do. Really. I don't think this has really been much of a problem in town, but for maybe, like I said, maybe
that's
a couple situations that you don't really hear it. But keep in mind also that in town, particularly in Old Town, we're getting a transition of residents rolling out. We're getting weekend yes. VRBO or people renting out their houses and so yes. forth like that. And so on. And those and folks, stuff. You know, they're going to come down and want to be having a great time. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the enforceability is going to be, you know, we're not going to have somebody here 24/7 with a sound gun. It's going to mm-hmm. primarily get called upon when it becomes a reoccurring problem. Mm-hmm. Right.
But even then, you know, it gets, if we're going to investigate.
Unless it's perpetually a problem.
Yeah.
If we're going to investigate, I think we had talked before that we probably contract with a company
right.
that has the equipment. Mm-hmm. And-
well, so everybody kind of has somewhat similar ideas, but still some different differences on them. And so you're going to do some homework, right? And maybe you can ship around what you find between now and the next meeting.
Yep. I will, like I said, I'll call over there and get an, I'll send okay. an email and say, what is it?
And for those of you that in the audience that don't know, we've started a new policy that before we vote on something, we open up the floor to a public comment so that actually before we actually vote, we hear from everybody else as to what your opinions are on the matter. So we don't hear about it afterwards. So okay,
we could do public comment tonight only because we have six people here and we got 15 people on Zoom.
Yeah, is everybody fine with that? I wouldn't mind hearing public comment on this as well. So
just because we have so many attending,
you want to go ahead? Why don't you roll through?
We can start here in person. Mike, is that your name?
Yeah.
Do you have anything?
Yeah. Are you speaking to Mike on the Zoom?
Hang on, Mike. I'm talking about good. Mike in the room. Sorry. we'll get to the Zoom participants next. Anything? No. All right, ma'am.
I have a question.
Jessica.
Okay.
Just on the sound ordinance.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So we would have to have, if you're going to differentiate between business and residential, it's going to need to be, can you make it really clear? Because I don't know if I would be considered business or residential.
Yeah,
it would have to be really clear.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we could base it on the zoning map, right?
What?
The difference between residential and non-residential?
You know, based on,
I mean, I feel like
on the zoning map, unless,
right?
Unless you have a home occupation of sorts, right?
Yeah,
that's true. I just didn't know if it would make it too hard if you made it to differentiate between the two. But just something for you to consider.
Well, generally, I think the difference between the residential and the non-residential is, for example, like, you know, take the restaurants, for example, mm-hmm. that play music and so forth. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to be playing music and have bands on a regular basis. So their decibels are up a little higher, absolutely. Right? And their hours are a little different, although it's an argument's being made to have the hours similar. But that's, you know, that's the primary basis between the two.
I don't care what you choose, it doesn't bother me. I'm just saying for other people, so they're clear if it's how close they are to the business, is that considered residential or business?
It's a good question.
That's all I'm saying.
You mean if the house is right next, if you're right adjacent to, and technically the way this measured is the sound up to the property line of the particular establishment.
Okay.
So that's how that's
other people would be clear. It doesn't matter to me what you choose.
That kind of plays out.
We can put in definitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just so you don't have, because you know, then you're going to end up with 50 million more questions. Well, is this this? Is this this? That's all.
Yeah.
Just helping you.
Yeah, I think that, and again, I think it's really primarily if you're zoned commercial, then that's where the commercial is. But every, you know, we have very, our zoning is very basic here in town and everything else is essentially residential, right? Like
R3. Right,
right. Yeah. So unless you're over in Trinity Woods or Cool Springs, which is residential R1.
All right. Jack?
So, I just, we've had these discussions before. I've been part of the board here up until March, and I thought we had tried to negotiate which way it was going to go, but then now I'm hearing even more difference of which way it's going versus commercial versus residential. And I think you have to, as far as I'm concerned, you have to have some kind of concise, clear-cut information out there so that the average person knows going up front that if they're going to have a party at their house, if a police officer is summoned because the noise is too loud and the police officer takes a number decibel reading and it's a pulse, they could be fined.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you make it that simple, people will adhere more to it than if it's the other way. I mean, but Renee says she wants to go and check on the parameters that she has. Well, she wants an Aberdeen Premier. What kind of parameters does Aberdeen Premier have compared to, I mean, we hear the blast go off here constantly from Aberdeen, right?
I want to read, it's more of the fact of the decibel levels. I just want to make sure, like she was saying, like 55 is whispering. I just want to make sure.
Generally it is. Yeah. It's very low.
I was just asking, I'm going to make sure that we have the right decibel levels. I'm not talking about the planes and all that.
Yeah, okay. I think if you look at other municipalities that have noise ordinance like that, I mean, it falls within this range. We're talking between the quiet of 55 to the high of 70. Is what I was looking at. So, and I think that's the standard. standard range. But I'd be curious to see what Aberdeen has. You know?
And the other thing, Jack, is too, is we have to understand that you brought up, you just said a really good point there. He said that when the officers show up and do their, they don't have that.
They don't.
That would be on us.
That's right.
Well, it was my understanding we were going to purchase one and have it here.
Exactly.
So the police officers who walk in the door here would have access to that when they're running around town.
But we would have to have them trained in it.
Yeah.
So are we going
That's the problem.
And then we have to maintain the equipment.
And then we have to maintain the equipment.
And that's standing
the
people.
Very expensive.
Dave Draco. Wasn't Dave Draco?
Dave was one
Draco
years
was.
Ago.
So, as he
and
said,
that's the last one for the
same. Yeah, but yeah. As he said, it wasn't, it's not like you got to go through 100 hours or anything. It's, you know, an hour's worth of training is all it takes. And you can have it on your actual phone.
Yeah, we, I mean, our enforcer could go through the training and everything and be trained on it. It's something that we had talked about, but.
That was an option.
That was one of the
still,
options.
I think, to have good equipment, like legally defensible equipment,
fine,
it was a little pricey.
Something, if you lived in a big city, I can understand it. We live in Charlestown. Yeah. We've got 1,100 residents on any good day.
I really see it just
buying
being
thousands of dollars worth of equipment and have to maintain it.
Well, I really see it. I mean, if it becomes a recurring problem, like we did have a very serious problem.
Yes.
And then in that case, we're gonna have to get somebody who's certified to come in.
Yeah.
Because if you want to take it to court, you got to have certified equipment and you got to have somebody who's certified to use that equipment. And you can't just use a, you can't just use your phone. I mean, it's convenient to give you a ballpark, but you can't just use
right. I mean, yeah, because they do have the ones that you can use right on your phone. But
that's no good
for
court.
I don't think that the county's good one. We walked in there and they said, well, I use this.
Yeah, in front of a judge.
I'm not so sure the judge is
going to
like us.
So let's move on. Dan, what do you have
I
any comment?
I have a question about the double standard between the businesses and the residential. Mm-hmm. I live adjacent to a business. Mm-hmm. So he can play his music at a certain decimal to wee hours of whatever you guys determine. But me across the street, I can't. That's what you're saying?
Well, actually, Commissioner Capata is talking about having them equal across the board.
Decimals and
well, not necessarily decibels, but
well,
but time wise.
Well,
it's going to
be equal across the board.
Really?
Equal
yep.
Across
the board. All right,
equal across the board.
Okay.
I mean, how come the street can do it and I can't, or vice versa?
No, I'm in agreement that. There should be no difference between residential and commercial.
I think that's right.
It would keep it real simple.
Right.
Well,
and that stops any question.
But
it's just like we were saying that
but keep in mind
having a party or something like that, or you decide you're having a party.
Hey, if I got to turn it down at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, whatever you deem necessary, then that's the way it is.
Right. But it's the same for the business also.
Well, and I understand that, but you know, I don't understand the difference when they have a difference.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, if you're across the street from any business,
yeah.
You know, if they can make noise till 11 and I have to shut it off at 9 and I got to listen to it yet.
Yeah.
Where is that going to go?
Make them turn it up so you can hear it.
No,
I'm kidding.
I guess they don't have to do that.
I know.
I am in agreement with that.
But I think it's primarily the differentials, primarily for folks that again, the areas that don't have. If you have commercial beside you, you got commercial beside you. But if you don't have commercial beside you, and you're. And a lot of people don't like to have noise that loud at those particular hours. I think that's the differential. But I think your point's well made, though. So, all right, Mr. Sandman.
Yes, I have a question also. You talked about businesses, noise levels from businesses or commercial zoning areas, residential areas. What about the public property of the town, like the town parks?
It's a good point. I would suggest that they're held to the same standards.
I'd say non-residential.
But if we do no difference across the board, it doesn't matter.
Right.
True.
It would be the same.
Yeah, I think it should be the same.
I'm just saying with the current.
I mean, ideally,
when you're saying non-residential, yeah. Did anybody understand that? That is the park?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, ideally, everybody's being a good neighbor, whether or not you're a business or not a business, residential. So, and I always say, if you have a problem, go over and knock on the person's door and say, hey, turn it down.
Now, you can do something about the boats. Yeah. The bullets, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
The ones at 6 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Did you have any comments? No. All right, I guess I'll run through Zoom quick. Tara Edwards, do you have any comment?
Yes, I just wanted to point out one thing with regards to the start time. I know someone on the board brought up construction and starting too early, and I know I've personally been a part of that and experienced that where I live, but I also think it's important to keep in mind the summer heat and that a lot of these workers like to start in the early to try to beat the summer heat. And I think it's important to keep that in mind when we're setting these times so that we don't put them at risk of working during prime heat hours.
Thank you, Tara. Mm-hmm.
All right, how about David's iPhone? Do you have any comment on the noise ordinance? If not, I'll come back to you. How about Barbara? I'm asking you to unmute, Barbara.
Yeah, I don't have anything right now. Thank you.
Thank you. How about Charles? You have anything?
Yeah, we live over in Cool Springs. And there's a lot of people that get up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, a lot of military people here, people work shift work. So, my point is that 11 o'clock would be extremely tough over here in the residential areas. It's something to consider. There's a lot of military people here to get up very early.
Mm-hmm. You're saying 11 p.m. is too late?
You know, for me, I'm shutting it down 9:30. And, you know, trying to, and I know my neighbors say, we feel this, it's a different world over here than downtown. And I understand that, but I also agree it should be uniform. The lady's point earlier, it should be uniform, and the gentleman's point uniform across the board, whatever the time is, the time is.
So Charles, what is the latest you think the people over there would agree to that you kind of, your neighbors would think of, like 10?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, it's families. It's a lot of hard-working people. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are shutting it down here early. Yeah, I got young kids, a lot of young kids mm-hmm. here. And these are hard-working folk over here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, how about Courtney?
Hi, I also live in Cool Springs, and it is a very different world over here. And yes, people do shut it down early. I am only going to say one thing, and this is probably because I'm the crazy dog rescue lady. But I have gotten a call from town hall before about my dogs barking at night. And I do try to let them out only between the hours of 9 and 7 right now, but that doesn't really work because I take in a lot of medical cases that have to go out every couple of hours. So I think for me, it's more reasonable to ask a dog to go 8 hours from like 10 to 6 than ask them to go 10 hours from 9 to 7. And again, I know that my dogs are probably, you know, they're rescue dogs. There's a reason why they don't have a home, but I would just ask that is taken into consideration because my rescue work is very important to me, and I just moved here and I don't want to have to move again.
Thank you.
All right. Come back to David's iPhone. You have any comment?
Yes. I'm new here into the neighborhood 3 months ago, and I find it very peaceful where we live on a court. And I think 10 o'clock is a very reasonable request. That's all I have to say on that.
Thank you.
And David, just so you know, it generally is pretty quiet here in Charlestown, and this really isn't, we wouldn't even be talking about this, but for an issue we had with a resident a while back. So, but thank you for your comment.
Sure.
All right. How about Barbara? Do you have any comment?
She said no.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Thank you. All right, I double called on you.
That's how okay.
About, how about iPhone? Do you have any comment? I'm asking you to unmute iPhone. I'll come back to you. How about Jamie Edwards?
No comment.
Okay. How about Paul Rickert?
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to mention, I'm sure that we are talking about having a differential on the weekends. So, you know, to Charles's point, I know military aren't only working Monday through Friday, but, you know, if there was going to be a Friday evening party that could go till 11 instead of 10, I would imagine that might be acceptable. I don't know. Charles may want to comment back on that. But I was a police officer for 20 years and I down in Virginia and Texas and Tennessee. And I did a lot of these decibel meter readings. And you've got to have distances either from source or property line defined so you can do this. And the officer can take three readings or something in order for it to stand up in court. Usually what we interpret as too loud is far below what the standards are, unless it's just some really raucous party, because 55 decibels is pretty loud. Even, you know, I'd take measurements 300 yards from the property line. And it was oftentimes people would call because it was so loud, and given the standard in the counties that I worked in, they often were not exceeding the standard. So that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Are you still certified?
No, when I moved to Maryland, that was 20 years and that was enough.
Okay. Looking for volunteers.
That's right. How about Kelly? Do you have any comment, Kelly? Go ahead. It looks like you're unmuted. Oh, nope. All right. We can come back to you. How about Thelma?
Hi, you guys. I'm not sure how this would be addressed, and I don't want to sound like a party pooper, but I brought it up before at town. There's specific houses that set off what I would call professional type fireworks. They're not just little things. I mean, they're very, very loud. And it's off of Conestoga, I think. But, you know, I think it's one thing when it's 4th of July, Christmas, New Year's Eve, Memorial Day, that's one thing, but it's like any given weeknight, they go off and it can be anywhere from 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. and it's random. And I did actually telephone, I guess, the county police just to see what they would say, but they aren't interested. And I don't even know if the town could enforce it or would even want to enforce it. But when you have to get up and go to the work the next morning, like I expect that kind of thing on holidays. I expect it, but it just comes randomly and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bella.
Yeah. How about Mike on Zoom? Do you have comment?
Thank you. My second year as a resident here in Charlestown and love it.
Came from Mike, we're having a tough time hearing you. Can you speak into your mic?
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Second year resident here in Charlestown, love it. And I came from a similar resort town where I spent 25 years and spent a lot of time in meetings like this, discussing topics just like this over the last 25 years. So it's kind of deja vu. The sound ordinance thing, we had an old town, which was the heart of the commercial part of the town. And then we had very specific residential sections like the military gentleman that spoke earlier. And we had different zoning for those areas and had different time cutoffs for the noise ordinances. It just made common sense that in the residential section where these restaurants and bars and so forth would be open until in our town till 1 a.m, your music went on till 1 a.m. in Old Town. In the residential sections, it was much earlier, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, depending on the time of year, time of week, and so forth. And that seemed prudent and common sense-ish. And I would imagine, I don't know how you're governed here, but something similar to that, where, you know, Old Town seems to be your more commercial district and more activity, more going on. And it would make sense to allow commerce to occur without infringing on their neighbors' rights, of course, but have a more common sense approach in those residential sections. With regard to fireworks, and that was, I'm glad you brought that up. We had a different policy being in the Western US, of course, because of fires, but fireworks were allowed on the day before, day of, and day after major holidays. And there's always, I think, two sides to that coin as far as, you know, people love fireworks and some people don't. But that was a way that kind of kept both sides happy in a middle ground type thing. So my two cents worth is that with regard to, you know, commercial versus residential. I think the times that you've mentioned are reasonable. Decibel levels, I'm no expert. I just know what I can Google. And so I become a Google expert for the moment. What I'm reading is the retired policeman mentioned, you know, laughter and normal conversation can be 65 decibels based on what I'm reading. Yeah. A vacuum cleaner is 70. So those don't seem unreasonable. I think you're going down the right path for sure.
Thank you.
All right, Kelly, do you wish to speak? How about Monica? Do you have any comment?
No, I don't. Thank you.
How about Samsung SM G99? You have any comment?
Yes, I actually agree with Tara. There should be a provision for the summer because the temperature gets like in the 90s with 90% humidity. And sometimes people that are doing construction or doing add-ons or doing something around their house needs to start at 7 o'clock in the morning instead of 8 o'clock because it gets really hot.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Linda Schroyer.
Thank you, Linda.
This is Tara Edwards again. I would just also add to that that the trash truck often comes around 7 a.m. So I don't think that's unreasonable during the weekday either.
All right, Stephen and
Mike Helene.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Thank you. No, I agree that there definitely should be something a little bit different between the more residential and the commercial sites, but 11 p.m. is definitely too late for a residential area with people having to get up for work, having babies and infants and children sleeping and those type of things.
So, just for clarification, the weekday hours would essentially be what we're talking about, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For commercial or residential. And then the weekends and holidays were from essentially 7 to, and we're talking about bumping it to 11 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
So it's just on the weekends and for holidays that you get that extra 3 hours.
And that makes sense, but I didn't hear that at the beginning for the weekend versus weeks. I just heard the difference between one or the other, residential and commercial. Thank you.
Our weekend, is that Friday night, Saturday night?
Friday, Saturday.
Yes. Thank you. Somebody goes back to
how about 443-309-1553? You have any comment?
I have no comment. Thank you.
Oh, Robin, okay. All right. I think I went through the participant list. Got 17 people on Zoom.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
That's great. I think that's helpful for all of us, and also, of course, hearing from Cool Springs and Trinity Woods and Scott Gardens is helpful on that side as well. So thank you. All right. So we're going to do some homework between now and the next meeting, and hopefully we'll come up with a resolution that's more, I think, more appropriate than what we currently have. So. Okay, thank you, everyone. That's what I wanted to cover on that. All right, next item on the agenda is the personal manual updates and harassment policy. Commissioner Pano.
I did some research. Let's start with the harassment policy. One, we're out of compliance with it. Because we haven't had anybody sign this or take the training. I have talked to Legit, and there are trainings that are offered on there free of charge. But one of the things after talking to Legit is we need to have them look at this before we have everybody sign it to make sure that it's
legit.
Sorry, is...
No, he's saying it's, before. Make sure it's legit.
I know, but I need to say what legit is. It is the Local Government Insurance Trust. Sorry for using the acronym. I've been talking to them. I now have access into their HR portal. Mm-hmm. It's something to think about to make sure that we are in compliance with the Maryland regulations and we pay for this. They can review it. It's as part of their service.
And especially if they can provide the training.
And they can provide the training right. Free of charge.
Right.
Okay. And that way we can, and we need to, after we get that all taken care of, then we need to have all elected officials, employees, and all appointed boards take the training and sign this.
Right.
And it was suggested that, well, we need to take the training every year. It doesn't really matter. And they also were talking about the elected officials. They actually have ethics training for elected officials that should be taken every year as well. It's something
that if you're coaching soccer or whatever, you got to take all kinds of
these parent and things
trainings these days. You didn't used to.
And I work for the federal government. I take these trainings every year. So, and the personnel file. Same thing, the personnel manual. There's things that are missing out of it. They actually have a cut and paste type thing that we can put in about diversity, all the stuff about pandemics and all that that's not included into our personnel manual. This is the one that I kind of had to cut and paste. I haven't reviewed what we have and what's on here yet. I am working with Brian and the clerks that are here in town hall to go over this to make sure that it's correct. And then once this is done, then we also do the same thing, that it's reviewed by their attorney.
Okay.
Okay.
Our harassment policy was pretty abysmal previously or non-existent. So, I appreciate you taking the time to fine tune and getting it up to where it needs to be.
And the other thing I mentioned to Brian today, now that I'm getting into all this, this website, for him to start taking more HR classes that are on there so that he is aware of things as well. And again, it's offered for free, so he needs to start doing that. And if any of the other employees have training that they want to do on there, I haven't really looked at it yet because I just got in there, but there is like, I think like 5,000 different trainings in there.
Right. Something for everything.
Something for everything.
So in regards to the harassment training, can we forward that link around to everybody? And
well, we have to have this.
You want to have that in place beforehand?
Because it has to be signed by everybody.
When they're completed.
No, this is they acknowledge this policy.
Okay, right.
And then it also says on here that they acknowledge the policy and have taken the training. So it has to be all together at the same time. Okay. I'm hoping to have that done within the next meeting so we can get this out.
And how about the other manual, personnel manual? That's still going to take a little bit more time.
That's
going to
take a little bit. This right now, after this is 95 pages, I need to condense this a little bit and relook at it.
So let's, when you finish fine tuning that, ship it around for everybody to take a look at, and then we'll.
And that is the other thing. For the commissioners to let me know what you think needs to go into the manual, but I know Brian has been working on some things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, because this can be edited. It's not
set in stone.
Mm-hmm. However, working with them, there's a lot of things that are based on Maryland laws. So mm-hmm. some things that we can't change, but this is a working document that needs to be looked at almost every year.
Basis,
yeah, every year. Like I said, the pandemic and how all that's
great.
Big thing. That's great. So I just want to let you know what's going on.
Good.
Did you want to add anything to that, Brian?
No, other than I think that's great. Commissioner Kamana is correct that we've been tweaking some things, as we see needs, right? Mm-hmm. But there's always more to clean up, right? We know it's not just our zoning ordinance and our comprehensive plan, it's our personnel manual and policies.
This needs to be put on the schedule to review every year to make sure that there is no updated Maryland or federal laws that need to be added into it.
Let's get that on the agenda for next. You think you can have?
Yeah, I'll have the
at least the harassment
part of it.
So at least have that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Because that was a big thing that I noticed, that we're in non-compliance of it.
Good.
All
right.
And not to like toot the board's own horn here, the previous board's own horn here, but it was brought up that Legit had numerous classes online, and that the folks here in town hall should be looking into that and doing one a week. So, because I mean, they're free and they're easy to do. You can sit here and watch it on thing and do like one a week.
Right.
And just pull everybody in and do just one. Some are safety, some are, updates, some are, and I just think that's still a good idea. I still think it's a good idea. So,
Brian and I were talking to Legit this past week, so that's what we have set up accounts now. And once we get in there, figure out what training we're going to do, then we send emails to Legit. They'll set up the account to get into the training for each individual that they can do it on their computer. They don't have to come.
I'm just saying it was easy to do either way, but. I just wanted people to know that we didn't just like blow it off. Thank you. It was awesome. So, but great idea. Awesome. Great job.
Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is street paving.
So, Mr. McGurk, the senior packets came up with the last few projects that we had earmarked for this year. They get done before June 30th, this current budget. I highlighted, maybe I want to just make sure we're still on board with this last project. The one highlighted in pink, going, Loiza Lane extended, actually putting pavement down, 2 inches of pavement on top of that existing gravel surface.
Can you, Can you bring that up online? That
the location. Yep. Yeah. Take too long. That's why that's a different color. It's just, you know, that's $20,000 we have to do that job. And I know this board had previously approved it. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of it. The other four is what Mr. McGurk was asking about. And I said, hold up. We've been talking, you know, the commissioners and town hall staff about, you know, maybe we shouldn't just go full bore and putting 2 or 3 inches of pavement on top of existing roads. When we have stormwater problems to correct, right?
Right.
So that's those four highlighted in yellow. I mean, you see those amounts, 15,000, 18,000, roughly, you know, four different projects. That's $80,000 almost right there and just paving. You know, I'd suggest us consider still spending that money that we have allocated, but to do stormwater improvements along those stretches. Because if you look at the second page in your packet, some of those local flooding areas of concern that were identified in our assessment, they're the exact same blocks that we have slated for paving.
Right.
So we know we have maintenance staff capable of fixing some of our swales and our culvert pipes. But if Mr. McGurk can help us do the same thing, that'll just get it accomplished quicker.
Yeah, especially like Water Street and stuff.
These are some of our hot spots.
Right, and Market Street, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And when we're doing this, are we also thinking about increasing the pipe size that's under the ground?
Yeah, I think we would be looking at everything, right? And so the one block of Market Street before you get to water, there are no swales along that stretch, right?
So, yeah, we need to have a comprehensive plan on that, because otherwise mm-hmm. it's going to be essentially, I think, wasted money.
Mm-hmm. But if I can inject something right here, Carl, because this is something we've worked on for the last 2.5 years with Mike Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's got a complete detail of stuff that he had recommended prior to
mm-hmm.
that needed to be handled before the roads were paved.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So
what's being said right now is that you want to go ahead and pave $80,000 for a road, which is not the case. Yeah. That's not the information that we're trying to
pull. And that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
That's exactly what you just
said. All right, Jack. All right. So so what's done and what's highlighted in yellow, we're not going to do at this point in time.
No.
Is everybody in accord on that?
Yeah, right. As far as paving goes, yes.
But I see Revelation and between Route 7 and Salvation.
Yeah, what's not highlighted was still on the list to pave.
Still on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody familiar with that area, mm-hmm. which is all turtled?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Is that, I mean, you know, we talk about how we've been, the way we've been doing this paving is we've just been doing overlay.
Yeah.
On top. It looks terrible. Are we talking about doing that, or this is a price just for doing that, correct?
So the two on Revelation, yeah. I mean, that's just paving over top of, degraded asphalt. The one there at Caroline, that is paving plus replacing the stormwater pipe under that right away.
It's $12,000 to pave at the speed hump there on Revelation. Mm-hmm. And $20,000 for. Oh, okay, that's.
I believe between Revelation and Salvation.
Yeah.
That area needs it.
I am in agreement with the extension. That has needed that for a long time. And I know that our first responders are getting stuck back in there.
So, public comment on this.
Just hold up for a minute.
I know that they're getting stuck going back there, but man, that just looks like a very small figure for what I know really needs to go on back there.
That's why I want to pull that area up.
It's up on the map.
It's bad.
That's what I'm saying. That figure. I
know that there's been two ambulances stuck back there this past year.
That's why I said you got $20,000 for that. And yet
the painting at the speed pump is 12,000. This has got to be, is that figure right?
We can certainly double check.
Or, I mean,
you know, what's
or
especially it? Since, I mean, itemizing. There's no existing to put there. They
exactly. They're putting that plate over. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to dig that out. They're going to have to lay some burden down to go on top. You see what I'm saying? Or are they just talking about you? We're going to put 2 inches of blacktop down and that's it.
That's not what they do.
I know. Yeah. I'm asking. That's what I'm asking, though, because this figure can't be right then. That's awfully small.
Yeah, I mean, we can go back to McGurk and say, hey,
I was gonna say,
itemize this one.
Yeah, can
what's
we,
all included?
Can we find out if that's right? Because if it is, I would say do it immediately.
Yeah.
I will say, I agree.
He usually has, when he does this, he usually has the, you know, the estimates with the description of the work that's going to be. I mean, for example, he paved Caroline Extended.
He paved
one swatch. It was like a driveway.
Exactly.
And I'm curious if that's what he's doing
here.
And that's what I'm saying. Do we have the estimates that correspond with these?
We can get it. Yeah.
That would be helpful to have. So
the other part of this, because stormwater issues, and that is a big thing of mine. Have we started a schedule?
We have. Yep. And that's what I'm saying. Like these four projects, it's kind of good timing in a way, because our five projects that we have slated for maintenance staff to do, it's not these four. I mean, it's good timing to have a partner like Mr. McGurk,
right,
to do some of those. It really is. I mean, what our report identified, right, was problem areas.
Mm-hmm.
It needs someone to take a look at it and propose what might help in this situation. Right. It's going to vary, right, in different locations.
This report that was put out is not inclusive of all the issues that's going on.
No, at least not that page.
I mean, the whole report, period. Well,
correct. Yes. Yeah. As soon as that report's done, it's out of date.
Well, no, it didn't take in any concern. It was only the underground pipes. It was not anything to do with the above ground culvert.
Well, it was looking at some swales.
Yeah, it looked,
but not like we need swales here, right? It was looking at some existing swales.
It would stop because this is where the underground pipes are, and then it would forget this whole section here. So that's what I'm saying.
I mean, there could have been some of that.
A lot.
You're talking about the KCI report.
Yeah.
But I know it did some of it. It didn't do all of
it. It wasn't just
ground,
pipes.
But it did do some above ground because I know they were down by us.
I'm talking about that we need to have the schedule that it's not being pulled away from, that we need to keep up on that, and that we work on this street, get
right
this taken care of, move to the next street, not just a little at a time. Just keep it going.
It has to be constant. Yeah.
Yes.
There needs to be a program. And I think for next year's budget, I think that'll help lay out, hey, here's what we have. And, you know, if we come up with like a capital improvements program that says, mm-hmm. you know, let's do these.
We did get, the state did get the monies for roads this year. Yep. I don't have the figure with me and I should have brought it. I left the other book at home. But the state did get monies from the roads, so it will be trickling down through and we will be getting it.
Is it back to old standards?
Yes, it is back to old standards. So thank only for 4 years, and then we're going to fall back out again.
So we need to get this moving.
Yes, we need to get it moving.
It's not because we're not getting only the 15,000 or 20,000. Right. We're up to old standards.
We're going
to
be back up to old standards, but in 4 years, we're going to lose it again. So we need to like stay on this and just keep moving, because, you know, we'll work on it again in 3 years and we'll be down there lobbying again, but we can't guarantee that we're going to get it again, but we are getting our money back again.
So while we're still gathering more information on some of these other items, I wouldn't mind at least approving something to get Mr. McGurk going. And I'm kind of looking at Revelation and Salvation, Revelation mm-hmm. to Salvation, and maybe even the Caroline and the water pipe replacement
mm-hmm.
to get them going, and then we can gather some additional information between this and the next.
And if this is right, price, we need to do it. We need to do that one. I can't even imagine us saying no to that. If that's the right price and it's not just for like that little, you know what I mean?
I'm just curious, like how long
extended and how long
what
it
the
is.
Linear footage is on it.
Right.
Right. It goes back, way back in
there. I know it does.
And the ambulances are getting stuck at the very end. So.
And I'm hoping because they are older back there now. And I don't even think he comes out anymore. She does.
He doesn't.
And so, but if that is the right figure, we there is no way. I've never seen that figure that low before.
So
you, in 6 years.
Everybody seems to be good on doing Revelation. I'm sorry, Caroline.
And Revelation.
Between Seven and Salvation.
Right. Yes. Seven and Salvation, Caroline, the water pipe, and also Revelation at the speed hump.
Yes.
Or should I itemize that one first?
I'd say itemize that one first. Yeah. I was going to say, hold off on that. Itemize that one.
Because that one doesn't make
sense. Seems a little high, especially when you look at the Liza.
But before we vote on that, let's just poll the public real quick if everybody's fine with that.
Yeah, because this is Mike's projects here that he knows, and I trust what Mike says where he, you know what I'm saying? But I don't, that number there, I think it might have been maybe it's a typo or something.
But yeah, by next meeting, one thing before we open it up, when we get a schedule together and that we have it, and it that after it is, we get that, it's posted online so residents know this is where we're going and this is what we're doing. So it's...
Right. You talking specifically for stormwater?
And that we need to increase, when we do the underground, we need to increase the pipe size.
And can we kind of keep this one of them like a minute or something?
Yeah. So generally, when we say we're opening it up to the public for comment, generally we're keeping everybody's comments to a minute, no more than a minute. So
I guess, Mike, you want to start with you?
I'm looking at this map. I don't see the streets that you're talking
about. Well, we were just
Liza Lane, where it's not paved, just past Cool Springs Road. What we need to figure out is how far back it goes, right? If the ambulances are having issues.
And get going the whole way back, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
you know, figure the town boundary stops there.
Hold on, Jack. Hold on, Jack. You'll have a moment.
Gravel was put down.
Jack,
gravel was
I know that. I know. You'll have a moment.
That set, the one that we're talking about that we really want to find out that this number is right on is Liza Lane Extended. It's never been blacktopped all the way back there at all. It's basically gravel. And it washes out a lot and everything. It's muddy.
Builder's not responsible for that.
It's not the builder back there. There is no builder back there.
There's only four residents back there.
There's only a couple of residents back there. It's what we call one of our paper streets. Yep. Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mike, did you have anything? Or okay. Jessica? Jack?
It's just that was worked on last year. Mike and I and you sat down. We all went through this, and we put gravel back there on that whole section because it had washed out.
Mm-hmm.
And it is set up that if it was going to be blacktop, that Mike did a nice base back there. In some sections, there was 6 inches of base put down so that it wouldn't wash out as bad. So we did swale some of the property back there as well to make sure the water didn't run across the gravel. It ran down beside it.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, the amount of dollars to do that would be a lot less in this situation than it normally might be if you had to tear everything out of there and go back in with gravel.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's true.
And I think just to double check, what are the limits, you know, from where to where? Linear feet.
Do we open any of this up for bids for certain amounts of money to do blacktopping, or do we just have our guy?
I believe wow. Spricker probably the only one that's been on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason, if I can answer that real quick, from previous, is that
Jack.
Mike doesn't charge us for the blacktop. We go and pay the blacktop directly.
So yes, Dan. It's
in-house.
Primarily, yes, Mr. McGurk at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Kroner is correct in regards to that because we pay the. I think we pay the
ass directly.
Yeah,
directly
we only pay for.
Markup on it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so these total numbers right on this list is Alan Myers plus McGurk.
Right. Correct.
Yes. When I'm saying 15,000 and 18,000. Yeah. Right.
So when we do paving, especially in the critical area or in the critical areas, we have a policy where we're going to rotomill what's there out. So we're not putting more soil in and raising up that area.
Oh,
in the critical areas.
Conestoga Street and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, as we go, we do. I mean, it depends on the condition of the road. Is the way it's been.
Yeah.
And we've had a discussion, for example, where it's been happening. It's happened too often where there's been layer upon layer, and it's been a detriment to stormwater management. Yeah. So or stormwater like that, issues.
I noticed what's happening on Conestoga Street. Yeah. And I'm not complaining about the paving. It's a nice job.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's a little bit higher than it used to be, but I have to leave a pole in my driveway so the trucks can raise the wires up to get by.
So,
yeah. And that didn't used to, it wasn't like that 5 years ago.
So that policy is going to be changing.
Yes.
That aspect. Because we can't be done that way.
Well, you can't raise the road up anymore.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, especially exactly. For the quarters.
It needs to be cut out and.
I would argue not just the critical area, but anywhere where there's flooding concerns.
Yeah. Right.
Stormwater issues. Yeah. They
have raised it so much down where I live that my driveway, my grandchildren go out and the one can lay in it and almost swim. She thinks it's fun. And it's like, so yeah, she comes in all nice and clean and shiny.
205 on the Stoker Street was 18 inches below the road level.
Yeah.
At one point.
It's not anymore.
Not raised the house. I didn't raise it high enough, unfortunately. But what I'm saying is they kept raising the road up by filling in.
Right.
Crusher.
Yes.
Rock and stuff.
So yes, we brought that up a while ago and thought it was quite interesting. But yeah, we don't do that anymore. Thank you.
Do you have anything?
Oh, actually, that's okay.
Back to Zim. Charles, did you have anything about paving and stormwater?
No, sir.
No. David's iPhone, do you have anything?
No, thank you. I'm fine.
How about Courtney? Any comment?
No, thank you.
How about iPhone? Do you have any comment? iPhone's not able to unmute. iPhone, if you're just... Well, yeah, you're connected with a computer. Jamie Edwards, any comment?
No comment.
How about Kelly?
No comment. Thank you.
Welcome. How about Michael F? Any comment?
Thank you. No.
And how about Monica?
No comment.
Paul, you have anything?
No, thank you.
How about Samsung SMG99?
No comment.
Stephen and
Michaeline?
No comment.
It's not time yet for public comment. I'm out.
And how about Tara? You have anything?
No, only just a suggestion. In the interest of time, it might help if you utilize the hand raise feature on Zoom instead of going around every person, but that's your call.
I hear you. We just don't want to miss anybody. But how about Thelma?
Is this just commenting on the picture that we're seeing or stormwater management overall?
Just paving, Thelma.
I like Brian's idea of taking into consideration when you pave the stormwater management part of it. Thank you.
All right, and then Robin, you have any comment?
No comment, thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
The other people are going by.
Okay. I'm sorry, did you have something?
Yeah.
Yeah, but some people are on Zoom.
Okay.
All right. So if we can have a motion, we'll go ahead and approve those two items for Mr. Kirk to get started on, and then we'll come back at the next meeting and with some further details on the rest of them.
I thought there was three.
And these items, keep in mind, these items were already approved, right? This is just kind of a check-in.
Right.
Items one and two, well, what I've marked one and two, Caroline at water pipe replacement and Revelation between Seven and Salvation. I could call Mike tomorrow and say, hey, work on those the next 2 weeks.
Right. That's what I want approval for.
Okay.
And are we going to preliminary approve seven if it's the Louisa Lane extension, even?
If we just confirm the linear feet?
If yeah. And
I would rather,
Okay.
Let's
go ahead.
Make a motion. I motion to have McGurk start the Caroline at water pipe replacement, the Revelation between Seven and Salvation, and the Louisa Lane extension, if that's the price for the Louisa Lane extension.
And
linear feet, it gives all the way back.
Yeah, I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor of approving those items, say aye. Aye.
And you'll get the schedule for us
for
stormwater
for us
that we're going to start getting on schedule to get this taken care of, and that way after next week or the next meeting we can also get that posted so the residents know when we're coming.
Okay. All right, next item on the agenda is the most recent Revelation, just for a kind of a general discussion before the town, and that is the asphalt plant proposal at 499 Mountain Hill Road in Perryville. And Brian, I don't know if you just want to touch briefly on this.
Well, I'll zoom out here, show everybody the site that we're talking about.
And this just so everybody knows, this just came up, I guess, over in the last 24 hours. There was a letter put out by MDE stating they're having a period of public comment for an ambient air permit. There's a proposal to put an asphalt plant out at the old Stancils Quarry, which is out off of Mountain Hill Road. And you know, just as a town, you know, what if any impact that could possibly have on us. And we just thought that it is important that primarily that the residents know that this is something, again, something that's kind of a big deal. The letter says it's a 400 ton per hour asphalt plant, along with a crushing operation and an oil heating
scenario.
Yeah. So if you're,
Well, it's what's being proposed is, it's zoned for heavy industrial activity there.
It's not zoned for heavy industrial, it's zoned for MEA. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's mineral extraction zoning district, which allows for asphalt plants as long as they follow certain conditions. And, there would be a site plan under review at the county zoning office to make sure that it follows all those conditions. But
MDE is preliminary approved it until we go to public comment.
Okay.
That's correct.
And I guess MDE issues their quality permit for the operation. And I guess there are opportunities for the town to get involved and
when is the
comment? It's May 4th.
What's the date? For everybody so that they know if anybody's interested in participating on this. And kind of as a side avenue, we feel in Charlestown, we feel like we're getting invaded upon or what have you by heavy industrial and all this activity in our kind of really rural conservation area. And as everybody knows, we right on the outskirts of town, York Building Products put in for a rezoning from suburban transition to heavy industrial. Right up against our town, and the county council had approved that, and we appealed that decision. We just actually had an update on that. We had a hearing on that in the circuit court on last Tuesday, and it went. I thought the hearing went about as well as it could have for the town,
And, you know, it's, you know, so we'll have to wait and see what the judge does. The judge held it sub curia, but it's possible that the judge could affirm the decision of the county council, or the judge may reverse it entirely, which is completely possible, particularly in line of the questions that he was asking, or he may remand it back to the county council. But I think it's, you know, I think it's important that we protect the character of our community, because, you know, once it's gone and we'll never get it back. And I think those areas will have big impacts on Charlestown, particularly if you're out Cool Springs, Scott Gardens, and so forth. And even here, you know, stormwater runoff, increased traffic, all the heavy industrial type things. And I always say, if you wanted to live in Baltimore, you know, near Dundalk or near a truck terminal, you know, you can go move there. But this is Charlestown, and we should protect it. So anyway, this is kind of in the same vein, where kind of heavy industrial activities coming into the area. And if you're interested in opposing it or speaking your mind, you may want to attend that particular meeting. And what's the date of it?
It's May 4th. May
4th at the County Administration Building. I'm not sure of the time.
I thought it was 6 o'clock.
6 p.m. And that is a period of public comment in front of MDE. So keep in mind, it's already, as Brian pointed out, I think it's probably before you can even go in for an MDE permit, you have to have, you know, you have to have the zoning already approved. So the county essentially has already said, hey, you know, it's approved from the county's perspective as far as zoning goes. But this is again the MDE aspect of it.
3.9 miles from Charlestown. I believe it's about that to Perryville. So have we reached out to Perryville too?
No, but I was thinking that we should certainly get in touch with Mr. Roth out there and the mayor of Perryville, and that then I'm sure they probably already, I would think they already know.
Yeah.
But because it's right across, it's right on Furnace Bay as well.
Yeah.
So,
and the fact that on that property, from what I was looking, there is two.
There it is.
Two, I don't know if they're huge, so I don't know if they're water runoff or
detention basins.
There's two.
Could that be the original four?
It could be. It's huge.
That's just filled in.
It says, but on, I mean, I just looked it up on MapQuest, not like what you have here, but it has two big bottles. Isn't that the big?
Yeah, it could be the old quarries filled in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it
is. And it's not that, I mean, it's this. The water runs right through that property and right in front of the bay.
Yeah. Once you mine it out.
I mean, I think, my opinion is once again, it's such a shame. I mean, I'm not against, against business and industry, but I just think it being, you know, this side of Route 40, you know, between historical towns like Perryville and Charlestown and Northeast, sucked into residential areas, again, in rural conservation areas, right up against the bay. And also, I'm not sure what the smell is going to be, but I know sometimes I drive down to Baltimore, we all do, you smell that oil-oriented smell, and I mean, I don't know if we'll get that smell up this far. The winds are blowing, I don't know.
You're talking about running into the tunnel?
Yeah.
That's the shingle plant,
right? Okay, oil-based products, right?
Right, similar to
acid. So,
we also have to look at, you have a brand new $1 billion resort going in, Great Wolf Lodge, and how long will they hang around if we continue these types of things with that lovely odor wafting into those $1 billion companies?
So
we have done in the past a petition on our website, right, to collect signatures. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to prepare, if the town wanted to take that position prepare for the hearing.
I was going to say that I don't know, the town of Charlestown, a letter, we could draft a letter and submit it to MDE saying that, you know, we're in opposition to the permit being issued. And then list, you know, multiple, whatever particular reasons that we deem appropriate.
Will you be going to present that to them?
If
on the 4th,
if I'm back, I will. What day is the 4th? Is that a Wednesday or a Thursday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning on attending a hearing if I'm back. I'm going to be out of town early next week, but yes, we could submit it regardless. I would certainly sign a letter to that effect if this board agreed that that's the position the town would take.
I am in agreement that we need to do something as a town to show them that we are not for it, and see if Perryville's doing the same thing so that it's
absolutely. Yep. So if somebody would like to make a motion to that effect, and then we'll, as being the official town position on that, then we'll follow it up with a letter to the
I would like to make that motion.
I'd like to make that motion. That's good. I'd like to make a motion to for the town to draft a letter.
So you'd like to go ahead
to draft a letter to MDE on our position, as well as to put the survey up or to get the petition up as well.
I do know, I would say that I know that there is a public meeting for folks in Carpenter's Point, which is tonight somewhere. So they're rallying the troops, so to speak. So,
but if we put that up there and then we can put it out there, by the way, we have the petition here. That way we can also get the signatures too.
That's fine too. The folks who resident, I'm not, you know, I'm not opposed to it. So, but yeah, if you want to, did you make that, include that in your motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I already said.
You said second. So all in favor of a letter in opposition?
Aye.
Petition against, say aye.
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 All right. So motion carries. We will pin that and let our position be known. Because if we say nothing, it's just going to happen. And like I said, I think we're all interested in protecting the area as much as possible.
Correct.
I think it'd be good if a representative of the town went to the meeting and delivered the letter and the signatures. Not signing anybody up yet, but hand delivery of hard copy.
But I think everybody, I mean, if you can go, you know?
So if you're not, I guess I would deliver it. One of us?
Yep.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, that concludes the items on the agenda for this evening. So before we get into public comment, Lou, do you have anything you want to?
Yes, I have a couple of things. I sent out the picture of the picnic tables.
Mm-hmm.
I showed Renee it when I got here. I have been trying to get a hold of them while I've been sitting here. I think they would be great for down here at Dead End, Sandy Beach, or calling it this week. I would still like to try to get a hold of them. Whatever you guys think. $600 is a whole lot cheaper than what I can find them anywhere.
Show it to Ms. Bryant.
No. No, I did not.
I kind of like, can you pull up the
picture?
We have so we're looking for an appropriate picnic type bench and seats for
the reason why I like Sandy these Beach. Is you don't have to step over them or anything. You can just sit. They have it's a circle and it's got the four chairs that are actually hooked to it. They're black composites. They are they're very nice, and I found them on
isn't it metal
place in the town. Metal. They folks had four
on Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace?
Yes, that's right.
I'll try and look it up.
But I sent it to you.
I know, but I don't have it. I don't have it on here. But I can find it. What?
I did send it to you. No, you're not going to find it on Marketplace anymore.
Oh.
So the other, there were three options that we looked at. One was a wooden one. One was a composite one. And the other was a metal one.
Right.
And then Luke came up with a fourth option. All the three prior ones are all traditional picnic table style. Lou's are a little fancier. I agree that they're probably more of ease to sit in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you want to put it up there.
You put this up to the camera, guys, and I'll show everybody here. Can everybody see this?
You got to hold it really close to that camera.
Yeah, really close.
There you go.
Is that good?
Yeah. Hey, they can see it. We're getting thumbs up.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to show it around here now. Okay.
the thing
can
was,
you show the other ones?
When I look at, looked it up, they all are there about $1,582. I did find them in Milwaukee for $1,400, but they're sold out, not available. So the gentleman's asking for $600.
And he has four of them, is that correct?
And he has four of them available. I'm really hoping that I didn't blow it by not getting back to him right away. So I'm hoping that, that's not any of them. See, the reason why I like this was because they didn't even have to scooch around. They just got to the table and they could sit right down. Because
that is a thing that I even brought up is going forward, everything that we do needs to be ADA compliant. For people that can't lift their legs to get up around. I like theirs.
Yeah, and you can get a wheelchair over to them also.
Yep.
Which is nice. I mean, and the ones that we have down at Avalon, they have the wheelchair extension on the ends, but you still have to be able to climb over everybody else that's sitting there.
Those are like the ones we have at Avalon.
Right. So, and these ones here, the green ones and those blue ones there, those are very uncomfortable. they have them at one of the playgrounds in Middletown. And then they also have the ones with the backs. The ones with the backs give you a little bit more support. And also, if you take small kids with you, you're not worried about them going, boink, falling off of it. Just another thing. And you can also tie them around it. And then the seats, the booster seats that you can sit them in there, sit on those. So
these get attached to the ground.
We can, but you don't have to.
I just don't know if you want to put something nice.
All right. Well, let's interview. Anything else, Lou?
I did. Yeah. I've looked at the rocks that we're going to get because I looked at the plate that we're going to put on them. And then it was going to say Old Lot 1, Historical Charlestown, Maryland, and then the date is all of, I guess, anybody wanted to put on it.
Well, we haven't quite
come up with anything like that. So I really couldn't call and get a pricing because he said to let him know exactly what we wanted on these things, these plates. Come to find out, that's going to be a little bit of an expense.
How much?
A little bit of an expense.
Bronze plates.
Yeah, for bronze plates. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'll get back to you. So I made a phone call. And if you look at out here at the church, what do they have? Mm-hmm. They have the brick columns. I didn't even put two and two together until I kind of started thinking. I was like, wait a minute, they have the brick columns. And the sign is encased with brick columns. So I made a phone call and I said, look, I want like 2-3 foot, just small ones, like 2x2x2, you know, smaller ones.
Small casement?
Yeah, no, like the small columns, like 3 foot high. And then I forget what I told him. I was like something small and I only wanted like 3 foot high because then I was thinking the Eagle Scout that wanted to do another project, had them make the sign. The wooden sign. And what they would do is they would build the bricks up, the two columns, and they would leave two openings between the bricks to slide the sign through. And then they would have this, I forget what they called it, in some thing they poke through, and it holds the sign in there. But we could have the Eagle Scouts make the signs that said Old Lot 1 or whatever we want them to make it, which I thought was kind of special. And the other one would be Old Lot 2. And he's going to had to get a price on the bricks. That was the only thing he was holding up on. And he's going to get back to me tomorrow. So I was hoping, that's why I kept going.
If you can sketch up a
yes.
concept of it, that'd be
yeah.
great.
But what do we want on these?
What was the price of the plate? So
I don't have it because we don't know what it's by letters.
Did he give you a ballpark?
Because when he told me 500 and up, I said, well, is that the minimum? And he goes, well, for old lot.
Yeah.
500 for old lot one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think we want just old lot one.
Yeah. I mean, but these things would be forever. So I don't mind spending a little
bit. Yeah.
Spending
a little I didn't think we want. So, yeah. And, but when I seen that, I kind of thought, and then he'll also do the big one. Welcome to Charlestown. When we were talking about
right.
it. And that would be the big, you know, big bricks and all
where
that.
Where is that
going to
go?
Well, we wanted it at the entrance, but I didn't know which entrance.
Out where the kind of out where the sign is, where we come in by the Baptist Church, it says Charlestown.
But
about
it's
a
like,
welcome to Charlestown sign.
Yeah.
Out there.
Where would it go though? Because that's not town property.
State highways.
It's state
highway. We'd have to come to deal with state highways.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
state highway was not wanting to talk before. That's why I was asking. Okay.
Well, I know that then he was offered to do that one, and then I asked about a couple more, like for the ice house, and then because I thought we it could be cohesive all around that way, but I wanted to get everybody else's ideas. If you want the rocks, we can still do them. I mean, I still have them for free,
right?
You know, and it's just an idea. But when I looked out here and I seen that, I thought, geez, that kind of would make sense. And if we're going to do the sign out there, welcome to Charlestown with bricks, and the church is with bricks, maybe it would kind of make sense to do everything that way.
I still kind of like, I mean, out at the
I mean, that's
graveyard
fine.
Or what
I don't
have
care.
You. I always like the standard, the rock, because it's a play on really what the tombstones are. The headstones are all rock. So, and it's also
okay,
you know, not, you know, I don't want to say non obtrusive, but it kind of blends right into the app, you know, into the environment, I think. But
okay.
But anyway, but yeah, so
right.
draw sketch up what you're contemplating.
Well, I also we need to know then because I need to call a certain spec and let him what do you want on this plaque? Come up with something. You know, what do you want it to
one?
Say? You don't want it to just say old lot one, because I think that's horrible.
Yeah.
So come up with some ideas and let me know next time, please. And okay, and that's easy one done. All right, done and done. Friday, we'll be out here planting trees with the little kids from the school. And so, yeah.
What time is that?
9 to 12:30 and then
is that
night,
the elementary school
yes
fifth graders.
Okay. And then that night it's their carnival at the school, so
it's a fun day.
Yeah, it is a fun day for them. And then we have to talk about something serious, so there's all the fun stuff, yay. And then we have something serious to talk about. I'm going to show you something, and then I'm not going to say the name on it, and I would appreciate it if nobody else did either. But this person got their water bill, and they're brand new to the area, and it says zero amount due.
There was an email sent out about that.
Yes. But now these people that are brand new, so they didn't think they owed anything. So I did get a hold of them and I told them, no, it says, I said, what's going to happen is if you all don't pay this, what's written above it, even though it says zero due, you're going to get slammed next time with a double bill.
Right.
And they're like, huh? Well, I said, because what they thought had happened was they thought since they had just moved in, that the builder had paid it since they were the ones using it. And I was like, nope, that's not what happened. So we really got to like send something else out again. And I don't know, maybe, and that's why I'm bringing you up in a public meeting. So the folks over there are listening in Cool Springs and stuff. If you just moved in and you're getting these water bills and stuff that are saying zero due or, you know, usage zero or whatever, please contact Mary. And I've talked to her, Mary, and we've talked to folks on Facebook and all. Get a hold of her here at Town Hall. She will help you. If you have questions about your water bill and stuff, though, call in and ask. That's the best mm-hmm. advice I can give them. So,
well, it's also, since we're bringing this up, for all the ones that got new meters,
I'm one of them because I saw it.
That it has zero amount used. I know that's not true. Right. So there is an issue with that. But one of the things I wanted to bring up on the one that we were early to read, mm-hmm. and then we added the new, or then we read it for this current one. Mm-hmm. How is that an overage on people if the previous one was
a shortage,
and this one's overage?
Yeah.
That's where the confusion is. I don't think mm-hmm. that should happen. There so if they normally use like 10,000 mm-hmm. and this last one, they only, because of this hypothetical, I don't know anything mm-hmm. else, but yeah. they only used 8,000 because of the early read. Mm-hmm. This yeah. one, it says they use 17,000 gallons, just right. say, because but of because of the overage, but their bills are showing what you went over.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying the extra on the overage.
There's some really weird, I mean, that's right. another
yes.
one.
Yes, that is another scenario. Yes. Like we've heard that one, and we're basically correcting that as well.
Okay.
When that
so,
comes up.
So okay. we're going through a transition right now with our new water meter. So if you have a discrepancy on your water bill or something you're uncertain about, call mm-hmm. Town Hall
right.
so that we can rectify it, because there may be some issues, but. But otherwise the systems are working, but so if you have any issues with it, give Town Hall a call.
I would say generally meters are working.
Right.
What didn't happen was the new radios, and this was not even just in new meters. This was in existing meters, right? This was in existing meters that when we transferred from reading with Miller Environmental reading mm-hmm. them with the radio drive-by, right? We went to the antenna on top of the water tower. Mm-hmm. Some of them just weren't reading.
So I know I'm one of them that happened, and I can say that, I use no water. I know that's not true. And I know what I normally use. So
it went on mine.
It went yours? Yeah. Okay. So I just want to make sure that when we do the next quarter mm-hmm. and it shows that there was no thing here, and then you're going to add two right. cycles into this mm-hmm. so that overage isn't going to be happening on that. I just correct. Want to make sure that
yeah.
that's.
We're absolutely aware of that. Yep.
Okay.
We're not billing people for more than the water they're using.
And we apologize that's for the inconvenience.
And there's different scenarios.
But we will attempt to work through it and to make sure that everybody's water bill is correct. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted people to know, because the ones that are over there now, they are, some of them are under the idea that, like, per se, Keystone paid that bill. And it's just not the case. And these are kids that are like, yay, because they're just moving in and stuff, thinking, okay, good. They have no idea.
Some of them are paid. I know some of them. That are. They
that's
just have
right.
to look. They just have to look at their settlement paperwork.
Yeah, and
on
it's
that one.
Right. So it's like, it's really, I mean, just a horrible situation that we have going on here right now. So that's why I told him. I said, look, the best I can tell you to do is just call in.
Call in.
So, I think that's all I had, but what do you guys want me to do though about those tables if I can get a hold of those folks?
Yeah. I motion that she can purchase these tables for this, that we go ahead and purchase them. There's four tables.
There's a motion on the floor.
But I don't, should I second?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. I second it.
Yeah. All in favor? Say aye. Okay.
There you go.
Because I keep peeping, you know.
All right. What do you have?
Other than the stormwater, getting the schedule up there, and I'm working on the other stuff. And I'm working with Brian on some other internal things as well, which once we get there, then it's
good. Wonderful. I guess this Saturday,
Eight thirty.
We had, and thank you so much for I wasn't there, unfortunately, but the cleanup on the beaches, I think, went pretty well. And of course, when I got back in town, I saw little piles all over the place of goodies, and the beaches are clean for at least for a week, maybe, if that.
We did what, like 15 bags of trash, plus all of the.
Yeah, I think about a ton of debris.
And Miss Ella doing her little artwork down the beach.
Yeah,
that was gonna go.
So Saturday we're doing Route 7 down from the bridge, kind of the. The bridge is, you're coming, if you make a right on Wells Camp Road and you start to come into town, you go down the dip where the creek is, and then on the way back, so we're going from there all the way back up to the church and further if we have time.
So
but we're going to have
Broad Creek up.
Yes.
Is that called Broad Creek?
Yes.
And so we're SHA will be there with obviously some signs to try to slow traffic down. They usually have a truck with a flashing lights as well.
We still have the vests and stuff, I think, down at Avalon.
If you can post up, last year we did it probably in a couple hours with probably 8 or 9 people, 10 people, but it'd be great to have some more folks out there. I'd love to clean all the way up the.
Where are we meeting?
We're going to start at Broad Creek 8:30.
8:30, and we collected I don't know how many ton truck.
Two tons last year. 2 tons of trash,
and it was full.
There's a lot of trash along that stretch between the creek and Bladen Street for some reason. I don't know why it's so popular.
Well, even when the fifth graders do back behind the school, they bring out. I think when Nick was in school, they brought a car out of it. There was a car.
So if anybody can make it, that'd be great. That's all I have. So public comment.
All right, Mike, you got any public comment?
No.
All right. Jessica, what? You have anything?
Whatever you desire, whatever's on your mind.
I was actually looking it up.
Oh.
I
don't know the address. We can come back to you.
That'd be fine. Thank you.
All right. Jessica, you have anything?
I'll probably call tomorrow about the water bill.
Okay. We'll help you out.
I don't know that anybody else cares. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you.
It sounds like you're not alone.
I mean, the people listening don't. Yeah. I can. If
just
you're,
call.
Yeah, that's just what call. I'll do. So I'm fine with that.
Yep.
All right, Jack?
Well, regarding the water bill, it just started. My tenure 2 years ago as a commissioner, prior to that, I started beating the drum about the water bills, too, because my water meter was changed on February of 2019 originally, and the first bill I got was for 24,000 gallons, going from the minimum amount that I was using, which was around 10,000 gallons to 24,000 gallons, and they told me, oh, no, it was correct. Well, it wasn't correct, and we didn't find any leaks, and Bobby checked it 3 different times for me in the last year. Still no leaks on my system, but once again, because the billing has come out a month late, as far as that goes, now I've been thrown into paying a fine again, as far as more dollars and cents. I'm not the only one that's doing this. It's ridiculous to me to think that this hasn't been corrected, and once again, the water bill came out a month late. This is not rocket science, guys. I mean, we know when the meter is red, whether you blame it on the power not picking up the numbers or whatever, well, that should be made aware to us right away as well. It shouldn't have taken a month to get the water bill.
You're right, Mr. You're right, Jack. And just so everybody knows, I mean, we did just replace, we finished replacing about 300 meters in town with some wireless meters, and we're having some hiccups with it on the bills out. But you're absolutely correct. The bills need to go out on time, and we need to make a promise and a commitment to the, to the town, because we are, in essence, we are a service. We serve the town, and they need their bills on time, and they need to be accurate. So.
And this the water service is not a cash cow for the town. It's not.
No.
We have to operate that water system and maintain it.
Yep. We just did $1 million restoration on it.
Fair for everybody. And mm-hmm. instances where people are still getting estimated water bills, and we'll all be upcharged more money than we should be paying. And so I guess I have to call as well, along with everybody else that needs to call tomorrow. Anybody online, please call.
Thank you, Jack.
I want
Dan.
One thing about the issue of at the park at the foot of Calvert. I don't know the name of the park.
It changes.
Anyway, and the property line at 205 Conestoga Street, there has been a suggestion of putting some sort of a white fence along the property line there. And I'd like to voice my objection to that for a couple of reasons. I think that with the redesign of the wall and the areas on the property at 205 Conestoga Street, really isn't necessary. It's pretty clear what a boundary line is and what is park and what is not park. We'll look at a current picture of it right now. You can see that there's an elevation issue of at least a foot and a half. I know the property line is very close to the house, like it is about every house in this town. Okay. But my main concern is that there isn't any other division lines, demarcations, fences along private property and public property in this town anywhere. So why do we want to do it there? Why do you want to single us out for that particular point? I mean, I know it's a public beach, and it's pretty open now, way more open than it has been in the past. So I think people that go to the beach and use the beach, the local residents all know where the beach is. So I don't think it's an issue.
And I see you planted oriental grasses along the edge there.
Well, I'm not even going to remediate yet.
My
critical buffer has to be done yet. Very, very aggressive growing bushes. The property line is actually 1 foot off the concrete wall that's there.
I was actually over there on Saturday working, so I saw your property. I saw that whole little area there. I personally don't want to put a big fence up there. I know Brian and I were talking about that on Saturday, so I will tell you that. That's not something that I would want to
do. I don't think a big fence is going to go up there.
No.
Yeah.
So. Okay. We have talked about, because there is some in other parts of the, along the waterfront where people are saying it's their property. We have talked about doing a survey to see where everything is. I'm in agreement that I would rather not have a fence there. Mm-hmm. It was a suggestion from a couple of the residents. I personally don't want that. I like the fact that there's a road there that people can't just drive down in there now, but that is something to think about. Now that I've been down here and looking, I don't know if I want to do that to that point.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I always prefer natural barriers.
Yes, the grasses and stuff like that. I rather have the grasses to be able to retain the soil and to help the slow down and that's something that I've talked about for a long time, but to have I saw what you have done.
Well, I'm not done yet. I still have to remediate.
I know.
I have to do the critical buffer plan, which is going to put in 15 or 20 bushes along the property line there.
I don't even think we need to survey this because I'm pretty sure.
I know when I surveyed that, I can tell you where to mark it.
Exactly. I was going to say, I could.
Well, I think it was the other, because even looking at the other side, there's a retaining wall over there.
Exactly.
And I said, and if you look at it going up the street, you mm-hmm. can see it straight coming down.
Yeah.
And like I said, Brian and I were there on Saturday helping to clean up the beach. So mm-hmm. We kind of looked and that was one of the things that we saw. Now, one of the things we did also see is the fact of the serious runoff that's still happening there, and that there's big ruts going down through the beach right there.
Oh, yeah. In the beach. So.
Yes. Yeah. Not over your way. but that's to try and get things to slow down that it's not doing that. And mm-hmm. there's things that we're still looking at.
But thank you for coming in and expressing your, well, you know, we don't know yet. Let's just say that. I mean, right now you're hearing a couple of folks say that no fence is desired at this point in time, and you know, I don't think it's entirely necessary myself.
What is the purpose of the fence?
A delineation marker.
All right. Well, so you put it on one side and put it on both sides.
There was talk of that. Yes.
Yeah.
There has been talk.
And I'll tell you, there's also, for example,
there was talk of it at the beach, but when I was down there, I was like, I don't understand, because there's definite marking. You can see where the retaining wall is on this side, and you can see where yours is. Well,
my point is that it's private property versus public property.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Half the town is on public property right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you go down any streets, they're all 50-foot wide. Everybody's driveway, everybody's front yard is public property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not differentiating anywhere along those lines.
I'm telling you, I know, I'm in the favor of you.
But we have had discussions like in the park areas about some of the dividing lines, like even, you know, down at the wharf, there were issues about people wandering into the neighbor's yard and so forth, and even talking about possibly extending, you know, some additional parking in that particular area too, and you know, a fence to delineate to show folks where those boundary lines are, but you know, something that's, you know, if there were a fence, it'd be very similar to, and I'm not saying there's going to be a fence at your spot, because I don't really necessarily see a need for it, but it could be a low pillar post, kind of a steeple post, similar to what we currently have existing down in front of the flagpole or something like that, with a chain and black chain or something like that, something attractive that blends into the area that we currently have. But anyway, what you've been doing is great, and like I said, the natural barriers I think work out real well to delineate the spot. So it's not a super high priority at this point in time, but I'm not saying that the board has talked about it numerous times about actually putting a fence there. But, you know, as time goes by and those, you know, barriers grow up, it may not be necessary. So, but because you're doing it, I think it looks great.
Do we want to still survey?
I think we want to survey some of the,
I know we want to survey footlog.
And the whole way down.
We want to survey
Long Point.
And certainly Long Point.
And the whole way down through Castor, because that is town property.
And
but do you really want to survey that again? I mean,
well, what's the boundary line on the other side at Sandy Beach? I don't know.
On the other side? You can see it.
Okay.
You can see it. If you look down off the street, there is you can see the retaining walls that are over here. But if you look coming down the street, you can pretty much see where that is.
I'm just saying, you know, if we're just putting a picnic table down there,
what we're talking about survey for is just getting estimates a la carte and go from there.
Okay.
So markers are there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I believe that you have well surveyed your side over there.
Tasker Lane, that's a new one.
No, I told you that last time.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
What do we want to start? Just the road right of way for Tasker?
No. We're above the riprap. There is the new house is coming in, and they're saying
that's almost footlog park extended.
Right.
Yes, but they that she owns the whole way down there, and it's not because I was there when it was surveyed. It comes down like a point and comes right back up.
That would be included in the footlog survey.
That's what I would say.
Right, yeah. That would be included in the footlog.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Yep. You got it. So, okay. All right,
Mike, did you have anything before we go to Zoom participants?
No, I'm gonna handle them.
You're gonna handle it. All right, Charles, you have any public comment?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm gonna go in a different direction here. Public safety. We watched this week alone a little girl get dragged into the street in Cool Springs by her dog, and you know, the speed, and fortunately there were no cars coming at the time. This weekend, we watched a little boy on his bicycle go out into the street. He was probably 3 years old. Again, a car saw the little boy. We have speeding through Cool Springs now with all the new housing. We've had malicious destruction of property in here. There, and then when you talk about Old Town in the summertime, there's open beverage violations. I almost got hit on my bicycle. I ride my bike in the summer. I just got hit on my bike. People run stop signs. We're paying the sheriff's office a lot of money. What are we getting for it?
Well, it's good that you're bringing these items up. You know, we don't generally have a lot of, other than speeding and probably running stop signs, we don't hear a lot of what the extra stuff that you're talking about. But we're in charge of the schedules of the sheriff's department, and also kind of, you know, advising them of hot spots or places they need to go. So, Lou, you know, you.
Where is Charlie?
Yes.
It's Lou Wood. Where was the MDOP?
Well, that was the beginning. What was that? That was when all the sewers and the lampposts, the light posts got destroyed. That was a while ago.
I was going to say that was like a while ago. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the passing of the school buses in here. I mean, with all due respect, I don't know the number we're paying the sheriff's office, but I've been in Cool Springs a year now. I think I've seen once.
No, Charlie, they've been over there a lot lately. Fact of the matter is, we had them in there just not too long ago during the, did you see the sign?
The speeding sign?
The speed sign?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, that they were in there every day with that speed sign.
Good, good.
So that did work for a while, but now you said this, the buses have been passed.
Yeah, if you look at the Facebook page for Cool Springs,
I'm on there every single day.
Yeah, I guess there's it's like a whole new community. It's like the old community and then all the new houses, which are beautiful homes. But
yeah,
it's just like a raceway on Cool Springs Drive. I mean, it's just bad, really bad.
Right. Okay. But I know that we had a complaint about the bus passing.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, they've been given all of this up there, and we are going to have another meeting with them coming up real soon. So, but I'll pass all this on to them. I didn't know that the bus had been being passed. That's a new one.
Yeah. Somebody stopped me the other day and complained too. I mean, the people here just feel that we're just, you know, kind of like an outlying area, but we're really not.
Oh, no.
You're not.
You're not an outlying area. And the more that, you know, we keep meeting and everything, the more we keep trying to pull everybody in as one. And I think we do that pretty well over there. But also, when you say you don't know how much we pay the sheriff's office, it's actually public knowledge, but when the budget comes out again, you guys are more than welcome to you know, see it. We'll be very transparent with the budget.
Oh no, Lou, you're doing a great job there. I just over here, as Charlestown is growing, you guys know every summer it seems a little busier and busier. And you know, with that comes other things.
Oh yeah, it does. That's why we want to get a handle on it now. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, how about iPhone? Do you have anything for public comment? How about Jamie Edwards? We'll come back to you, IFM. Jamie, you have anything?
Sorry, no comment.
Okay, thank you. Kathleen Shirk, do you have anything? We can come back to you. How about Michael F? How about Monica? You have anything?
Sorry, I was too slow there. No problem. Thank you. Thank you. This is my first town meeting I've attended. I've really enjoyed it. Hope to attend all of them going forward. I appreciate the job you guys do.
Thank you, Michael. Monica, you have anything?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Paul, do you have anything?
I'd just like to thank you all for your consideration of the asphalt plant going in. That's really the entire reason I came tonight, was because of that, because of the concerns I have over that. So I appreciate you guys taking that vote and the writing of the letter to MDE in that regard. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, Paul. You're welcome.
About Samsung SMG99. You have any comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I usually have a standing engagement every Tuesday night, so I'm not able to attend the Zoom meeting for the commissioners, but I do read the minutes. And I don't recall reading anything about what's going on with the Scott Gardens pond. I know it's been talked about for years now, and it was supposed to be tabled until the spring, but that was last spring. So I was just wondering what's going on with it. It's a big eyesore and it looks horrible with the $400,000 homes here.
Well,
is this Linda?
So, yep, it is.
Linda, just making sure. Thank you.
So Linda, we had, as you know, I guess, was it last, probably the year before 2020, we did a big push, of course, to clean up the overgrown stormwater management pond. You know, originally it was a Scott Gardens Homeowners Association responsibility, but it's my understanding there isn't a Homeowners Association active in Scott Gardens at this point in time. So, of course, the town took to, and actually we had two great volunteers who participated in really spearheading the cleanup of the pond. But then after that, the town commissioners had collectively decided to not proceed any further at that point in time with really replacing the fence and or mowing it further. So because I believe that the backside of the pond needed to be cleaned up. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sat in limbo since that time. And that's where it stands. But it's good that you bring it up.
So I know of three commissioners who know how I feel, said they were going to bring it up, and I haven't seen or heard or read anything. So what's going to go on? Is somebody going to take any action on it? Is somebody going to do something? Is there anything I can do? Because it looks horrible.
Well, I mean, technically, out of the gate, I'd say, you know, if you can resurrect your homeowners association, that would be great.
We were the first ones to move in this development like 18 years ago. And they said, we can't have a homeowners association because we don't have enough houses.
Well, so being that there isn't, I tell you what we'll do is we'll take a look at it between now and the next meeting, and we'll put it on the agenda and see what we want to do, how we can, you know, because the stormwater management ponds need to be maintained. It's to everyone's best interest. It's so vital and important. So we'll take a look at it and we'll, you know, chime into the next meeting and we'll see, we'll talk about it in greater detail. Okay.
Okay. But I sure hope it comes out for more than just talking instead of action. That would be great to see something actually being done.
Linda, I'll chime in here just from a maintenance perspective. I do believe those two volunteers had cut down most of the vegetation in that pond.
I remember them doing that. It looked great for a while, but then it went right back to where it started at.
And that's what happens when you can't mow it. So I think the sticking point was getting rid of the stumps that had grown in there, right? Because once you get rid of the stumps, then you can mow it like it's your lawn.
The fence is even fallen down. Even that looks horrible. Everything about it is horrible.
One of my daughters and I also were with those other volunteers chopping down trees and shrubbery in there. It was backbreaking work.
I'm sure it was. It looked like it was, and it looked great for a while.
I thought there was an approval because I remember listening to those meetings to have a fence put in. Is that right?
I don't think a fence was approved. No. There was talk about a fence, right?
I thought it was approved. I know I wasn't on the board. I thought when I was listening, it was approved to at least get the fence put up.
It was never, I don't think it was ever approved.
Okay.
But here's the point. Here's the thing, though. I mean, obviously, you know, the fence, there are many posts in that fence that need to be, it needs to be replaced, but new bids would have to be procured. And we need to take a look at it again. I'm happy you're bringing it up.
Yeah, I agree. Because I remember bringing up, I thought the idea of putting the fountains in it to keep the water turning all the time and everything was one of the smartest things, because I went up and looked at the ones up where my other daughter lived. And it's such an easy thing to do. And that's why so many of these places have them in these catchment ponds, is it keeps the water moving, it keeps the water filtered. And they're not that expensive. And you put them on in the set, and that's why they all have them. Every time you see a catchment pond, they have these big fountains. And they're not really that big or grandiose. It's just they look like that.
Keep the water.
But it keeps the water clean. It keeps them circulated. That's why you can also put them in your pools. I mean, I had them in my pool, and that way I didn't have to run chemicals in it. And it's just a neat idea, and it was very, you know, green conscious, because that way you didn't have to use so many chemicals or anything.
I mean, this is primarily talking about the vegetation, of course, the growth and the fence.
Oh, I understand, but I'm just saying there's things too that, you know, to keep everything around it looking nice and decent. I'm just thinking of some of the other things we were talking about.
And it's the same thing goes for over at Scott Gardens too. The stormwater management ponds.
Right. Or you mean Trinity Woods?
Trinity Woods.
I'm sorry. Trinity Woods. Yes. So. But we'll report back to you at the next meeting.
Okay. That would be great. I mean, maybe there could be a compromise between the town and the people, at least up front. Then we can continue with the maintenance of it.
Yes.
Something.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
How about Michaelina?
Almost. It's okay. I'm used to it my whole life.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. No. So first, I want to thank you guys for spearheading and really moving forward with the whole industrial plant issue and all those. And which leads me to the, you know, the Mountain Hill Road asphalt plant, which is another reason why I was mainly trying to get on this meeting tonight. This is a huge issue for a lot of the families here, and it needs to be jumped on. We have the elementary school. We have a lot of new families moving into the area. We have a lot of elderly people, retired people in the area. This is a huge health concern, not just environmental concern. And so I know that Pamela Curry from Perryville was organizing that meeting tonight for a lot of the Perryville, Carpenter's Point, you know, Principio area. And I think that they really want to see if we can join in together somehow. So I just really want to make sure that we are moving forward on that and having being able to call and speak up with that. And so I have some contact information if you need that for later from that meeting as well. So
great. The biggest thing is for people
if they're against it, to post up at that hearing on the 4th.
On the 4th at 6:30, right? Correct? Yeah, 6.
I think it's 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
Yeah, Michaeline, get a hold of me on Facebook, and I'll be talking to you later.
Okay, thank you. Will do.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Tara, do you have anything?
Yeah, it goes along with the asphalt plant, the decision being made. And I've been in part of a lot of the emails going back and forth with the residents of Carpenters Point and Mountain Hill Road about that plant and their concerns. And just so everyone's aware, try and pull up one email so I can say this correctly. The hearing will allow questions in writing prior to the meeting. So if you have questions, you can submit them now. And also questions will be allowed in person, but they don't know how much time each person's going to have to speak. So I recommend that if you're going to have questions, either prepare them in advance and submit them in advance, or have them prepared in advance in the interest of time. And then also that the state representatives at that meeting are not going to answer any of the questions at the hearing. All questions will be taken and responded to one by one in writing after a specific period of time, which is TBA at this point. I'm also tracking, unfortunately, that the decision for the asphalt plant is going to be based solely on air quality and getting that air quality permit. They're not really taking into account any of the environmental effects in the area or the effects it has on the bay. But I think the group at Carpenter's Point is really hoping to get to pack the house on May 4th. So if you're available and able to attend, please do, so that we can send a strong message that, you know, we are opposed to this and we don't want to see this in our community. So thank you.
Thank you, Tara.
Thelma, you have anything?
There you go. I think I unmuted myself.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. The river sweep thing was really fun. I love it when you guys do that. Do you know, like, when the town will come by to pick up the piles that the community made down at Footlog? Because I'm thinking it's going to blow away or wash away or kill the grass.
It's on the agenda for this week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Thelma.
How about Troy? You have anything? Or how about Robin? Although, Robin, I don't see your phone number anymore, so.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. iPhone, you have anything? I'm asking you an unmute iPhone. Came back to you. Okay.
I have one last thing. tomorrow is Administrative Assistant Day. So,
I'm good.
I got it today, so. I want to thank our staff, if possible, for Brian to do some type of lunch for the two ladies tomorrow, if that's possible. Okay.
Sounds good.
Hey, do you like lunch? Sure. Do you like it? We love you guys. I'm an executive assistant at APT, so I got it today. I didn't even know until they said it to me today. So
today is National Pretzel Day.
Yeah, it's pretzel day. Pretzels. Eat pretzels. It's National Pretzel Day. I motion to adjourn.
I second that.
All in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
On the asphalt deal, these